there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.
Week 9 ranks. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe P. Zapia. And today, the dust has settled from the NFL trade deadline. So it's time to look ahead to the ranks in NFL for Week 9, trying to figure out where we're moving, who we're moving up, who we're moving down at the running back and wide receiver position. Of course, Pat Fitzmaurice is always here to help us out to figure out who those players are that we should be very aware of. And we've got a fantastic international guest joining us, Mauricio Gutierrez. You know him, obviously, from the NFL fantasy side and the Espanol side, also from Estadio Fantasy as well. Mauricio, it's so great to have you back. We had you on the Fest. It's great to have you on the pod. And I'm going to press the guest right at the top. And the question is, after the dust has settled from the trade deadline, has anybody really moved significantly for you? Who's the one player that you think benefited from yesterday's trade deadline?
I think no one benefits significantly, but the one that intrigues me the most is probably Chase Claypool. That should be the number one receiver in a better Chicago offense right now. We've seen the last weeks that offense is running very well. The Justin Fields is getting better, and I'm intrigued by Chase Claypool.
All right, there you have it. So we are going to, like I said, break down those ranks. We'll start with the RBs. And of course, if you've got questions about all these, you can always go to fantasypros.com and check out the rankings there. Check out the ECR so you can see who's ranked over who, or you could just look at your favorite analyst, probably Pat Fitzmaurice, and you can look at all the ranks from there because he's always good. Although, Pat, I did have a top 50 finish this week for the first time. I think it's time for me to quit and get out on a high note, right? I think that's it.
You bested me, Joe. Yes. No, it was fantastic to see you out there. And dude, you've had a couple good weeks here of late.
I can't get the quarterbacks right, no matter what I do. It's dreadful. I guess my allegiance to Tom Brady really needs to know an ending point at some point. I gotta just cut bait. But look, let's get to some of these names here at the top. And obviously, if you can't get enough of the content here, we've got more stuff on the betting side too. Pat, myself, Matthew Friedman, we host that Look Ahead show. So if your fantasy teams are starting to get a little iffy right now and you're saying, I got to make some money back, I'm telling you, check out the Betting Pros podcast, also the YouTube channel as well, bettingpros.com/podcast. Again, wherever you listen to your pods, it's on there. We also got the college stuff there with Thor Nystrom, which is tremendous. Check that out, man. The Betting Pro stuff is hot right now. Go get involved. This is a great time of year, especially even if you're new, we talk you through it. So don't get intimidated. Ways to make money on it. Go check it out on the YouTube side too. Go subscribe.
Running back rankings.
Let's talk about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Pat, you've got him ranked at RB24. Mauricio, you've got him at 34. So a big distance there between you. ECR, smack dab in the middle, wouldn't you know it. And this is a guy who was very touchdown dependent. is a guy the last few weeks kind of been trending in the wrong direction because of those touchdowns being lacking. Coming off a bye, Andy Reid always good, Pat. But as Isaiah Pacheco been that guy that's been deemed the starter, quote unquote, whatever that means. But what do you think here for Clyde Edwards-Helaire? You still have him right on that fringe of RB2, but the rest of the group has him outsized more of a flex. How do you feel about CEH this week?
Oh, Joe, you're so good at finding the gaps in my armor and piercing them with your foil. And this is this.
Well,
is a big
I did
one.
Sword fight for 20 years, so that's my MO. So true story, everybody. True story.
Yeah. So CEH, you mentioned the touchdown dependence, Joe, and generally I do not like being ahead of ECR on those kinds of guys. Generally, I would prefer to be behind ECR and fade those guys. Six touchdowns in seven games, largely what's fueling Edwards-Helaire as the RB21 right now in half point PPR formats. So he's giving you running back two value, but you know, the CEH investors out there know that it's kind of a leap of faith almost to put him in your lineup, because he's only had one game this season with double digit carries, season low six carries last week. But then again, they were blowing out the 49ers, and Pacheco is kind of there. Big lead sledgehammer at the end of games, I think. So yeah, and the matchup isn't great. Like the Titans have allowed the second fewest rushing yards to running backs and only I believe one touchdown run all year. They have given up the sixth most receptions. And man, I just like, I hate to bite on the touchdown bait, but man, with a total of a Vegas total of 46 points in this game and the Chiefs favored by 12.5, that's an implied total of 29.25 for the Chiefs. Joe, you mentioned how good Andy Reid is coming out of byes with extra time to scheme. I mean, with 29.5 as their implied point total, that's me. That's like 3.5 is the over under on Chiefs touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And if they get 3.5, 3, 4 touchdowns, like it's better than 50-50 CEH is going to get one of those touchdowns. So like I don't love betting on a lower volume guy who scores touchdowns and uses that to buoy his fantasy stock. But I'm kind of betting on that this week, I guess.
Well, Mauricio, CEH is a guy that has only one target in the last 2 weeks in those games. Coming off the bye, Pat mentioned the tough matchup against Tennessee here. Single digit fantasy points in the half PPR, 3 weeks running. So what are your concerns here on the flip side as this RB by committee continues to evolve in Kansas City?
Yeah, we were excited to see Clyde Edwards-Helaire generating touchdowns, scoring touchdowns after 2 years in the league, that we expected that from him. But last week, week 7, I mean, it didn't even matter that he scored a touchdown because he was unable to finish as a top 24 running back. For me, the Tennessee defense is vulnerable in the passing game, and this is going to be a Pat Mahomes, Travis Kelce show. Yeah, we can probably 50-50, like Pat said, to Clyde Edwards-Helaire to score a touchdown. But Pacheco is going to be involved week 7, out-snap him, out-touch him. Pacheco is not going anywhere. So I'm worried about that.
All right. Kenyon Drake, running back of the Baltimore Ravens, is slated to get a lot more work with some iffy news about Gus Edwards. Pat, you've got him at 26. Mauricio still got him at 32. ECR closer to Mauricio, though, at 31. So Derek Brown mentioned on the live stream earlier this week on YouTube about Kenyon Drake. Talk to me about Kenyon Drake and what your expectations are for him. A couple weeks ago at a big game, why do you think he could be an RB2 this week?
Yeah, so I'm not expecting Gus Edwards to play this week. This ranking obviously changes if Edwards does play, but you know, with the hamstring issues, seems unlikely. And the Saints have been kind of a red flag matchup for running backs in recent years, but they have not been as tough against the run this year. They're giving up 4.7 yards per carry to opposing running backs, have allowed the, I think, 15th most rushing yards to running backs. And we've seen the big play potential with Kenyon Drake. You know, I don't always love his running style, that he's always looking to bounce everything to the outside. I'm sure his coaches probably don't love that running style either. So he's going to be a little boom or bust. I mean, there have been weeks where he's gotten touches and really hasn't done anything with them. But he played 44 snaps against the Buccaneers last week. That was a 58% snap share. You know, he's got a little bit of utility in the passing game. So, I mean, if he is the number one guy for the Ravens, yeah, I mean, I don't mind having him ranked as a high end running back 3.
Bouncing it outside, though, has kept him in the league for 7 years. That's probably yeah. part of it.
That's exactly. a lot of years bouncing outside.
Yeah. That'll do it. Mauricio, is this ranking for you based more upon just waiting for the Gus Edwards news? And if so, how high up then would you maneuver Kenyon Drake in your rankings, if indeed in terms of your expectations for him in week 9?
Not much. I will rank him running back probably 27, 28. So not much difference. Even though that we can expect to be the main back, I think Justice Hill is going to be involved if Gus Edwards is not active. And the Saints, even though the yards per attempt that are permitting that Pat said, in the two of their last three games, they limited Josh Jacobs to 43 rush yards, and Joe Mixon in week 6 to only 45 rush yards. So I think that we can expect Lamar Jackson to run a little bit more, if not without Rashad Bateman. If Mark Andrews is limited, I think he's going to be like utilized more in the run, Lamar Jackson. And Kenyon Drake, yeah, I could use it as a running back 3, but not expecting much.
All right, let's flip the script here a little bit and look at some guys that Mauricio has higher than Pat. You've got Brian Robinson, Mauricio at RB23. ECR is close to you at 26. Right in the distance, though, is Pat at 28. Now, Brian Robinson coming off, I would say, a less than thrilling performance there. 8 carries for 20 yards, just 2 half PPR points. It's not really getting everybody really excited. Plus, Antonio Gibson continues to work in the passing game. What a concept, right? Take the guy who was a converted wide receiver and throw him the ball. I mean, it's crazy. But Brian Robinson, still one of these guys that's hanging around there that people might need, especially with these bye weeks where you're missing, you know, both the guys in Dallas, you're missing a few other RBs this week you have to put in there. So what is your confidence level in starting Brian Robinson this week? Because I know a lot of people are wondering, should he be in lineups or should be looking for maybe the Kenyon Drakes of the world instead?
The confidence, actually, I have it as a running back 23 because we are lacking options with 6 teams in bye. You have to put Ryan Robinson probably in that range, right? And I don't believe in Ron Rivera anymore. He said, like, yeah, we should involve Antonio Gibson a lot more. Yeah, it's the same Ron Rivera that said that he probably will utilize Antonio Gibson as a Christian McCaffrey role like 1 year ago and nothing happens. Even if in his worst week in utilization by Brian Robinson, he outcarried Gibson to 8-7. And I rack him there because of the volume. I'm expecting 15 touches again for him this week, even though that we all want Antonio Gibson to be free, Antonio Gibson to be the primary back there, because we've seen that he's more productive and more efficient.
Pat, it's hard to imagine a game script, too, where they're up by a lot, the Commanders, and grinding out clock with a guy like Robinson. So he then, in essence, becomes very touchdown dependent. If that is indeed the case, is that where you're struggling with Brian Robinson in week 9?
Yeah, that's you put a finger on it, Joe. Like, there is a certain game script that works well for Brian Robinson, and that's a big Commanders lead. But we're talking about the Washington Commanders. So how many times are they going to be playing with these ultra favorable game scripts? And by the way, congratulations to Commanders fans on the news that Daniel Snyder has hired Bank of America to sell the team.
I saw that earlier. Look at that. Very exciting. Finally.
Yeah, Washington fans have to be just over the moon about that. You know, we were hoping, I think, that Robinson was going to give us more reasons to be over the moon, like such a great comeback story coming back from the gunshot wounds. But like, the part of it missing is that, you know, he just hasn't looked that great. And Antonio Gibson, I mean, you know, far be it from me and Antonio Gibson truther to rub this in, like, he's just looked a lot more explosive than Robinson has. And yeah, like, we're seeing the shift back to Gibson. He outsnapped Robinson 22-15 last week in the tight win over the Colts. 0 targets last week for Robinson, and he has had 0 targets in 3 of his 4 games this year. The one game where he did see targets, there were only 2 of them. So he's just kind of a non-factor in the passing game. That certainly doesn't help. He needs that ultra favorable game script. And with the Commanders, a 3-point home underdog to the Vikings, maybe even 3.5, is he going to get that favorable game script? It seems unlikely.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Manscaped. It's that time of year where we're all feeling a little thankful, where we're all looking for that special Thanksgiving feast with all the trimmings. And speaking of trimmings, how about trimming down there for once? My God, look at yourself. You need to take care of yourself. What you need is the Performance Package 4.0 from Manscaped, the greatest male grooming tool in the history of the universe. And now you can get your pumpkins all nice and trimmed with manscaped.com by using the promo code JOEYP for free shipping and 20% off. And in the Performance Package 4.0, you get the Lawnmower 4.0, the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant, the Crop Provider Toner, the Performance Boxer Briefs, and the Nose Hair Trimmer known as the Weed Whacker. That's right. It's a cornucopia for your cornucopias. Go right now to manscaped.com, get that 20% off and free shipping with that promo code JOEYP, and get all the tools you need to finally take care of your business. Look, just because it's sweater weather outside doesn't mean you have to have a sweater on underneath your sweater. You know what I'm talking about. It's out of control, and it's time to take control with Manscaped. So once again, go to manscaped.com, get that 20% off and free shipping. Use that promo code JOEYP. That's JOEYP. Your balls will thank you. And now back to the action. All right, let's move on to another guy that Mauricio has a little higher in the ranks at RB. Damian Harris, RB28. Pat's got him at 32. ECR is actually even higher than you, Mauricio. Now, look, to me, Ramondre is the guy. It's just whether or not, I mean, that's it. I mean, at this point in time. But is Harris somebody, especially on bye weeks where you're missing teams, is that somebody you can still go out there and feel good about in terms of, you know, as a flex play, or you're playing for that touchdown like we talk about all the time? Because it's kind of surprising to me that he was this high. But then again, looking at where we are this week and who's missing, I think it makes a little bit more sense. But what are your expectations for Damian Harris this week against the Indianapolis Colts, coming off a game where he had 11 carries for 37, had a couple catches, but nothing really spectacular for sure. Nor did the Patriots offense look anything close to spectacular either, in all fairness.
Right. I'm a Ramondre Stevenson truther. And even that, I think Damian Harris could be a running back three, a solid running back three this week. He went from playing 60% of snaps in week 7 to almost 39% snaps in week 8, from 5 to 13 opportunities. So he's going to be involved, even though Ramondre Stevenson is the lead dog there. And the Colts versus running backs, man, that's a feast. 167.8 total yards per game in their last 5 games, permitting to running backs. That's huge. I think there is room for a great week for Ramondre Stevenson and a decent week for Damian Harris.
Pat, all these running backs we're talking about are kind of in a cluster too in the ECR, which is pretty hilarious. Like even Antonio Gibson, right? Antonio Gibson, Brian Robinson, Damian Harris, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Kenyon Drake are all from 24 to 30 in that range. So picking out the right guy in this group is kind of imperative, I feel like, this week. Does Damian Harris in any way feel like the right guy in this group? He feels like, to me, the guy that doesn't belong.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, and I'm not defending him because I'm behind ECR on him. I've got him at running back 32. I guess the case you can make for him is that they did at least, they haven't slammed the door on his usage in this backfield. They've settled on Ramondre as their guy, as well they should. You know, like Mauricio, I'm a Ramondre truther. I'm totally with him on that. And, you know, he is assess the situation pretty well, but they are giving Harris some work. 32 snaps last week against the Jets, 13 touch opportunities, carries plus targets last week. Like, we know the targets aren't going to be there. He doesn't really give you that much in the passing game, 14 targets in 7 games, but the goal line usage still a little ambiguous here. Like, so far carries inside the 10 yard line. Stevenson has had 9 this year, Harris 5. Like, it wouldn't shock me if Harris were to be in there on, you know, first and goal from the 2-yard line. I don't think they've necessarily settled on one guy or the other being the goal line guy. So I guess that's the case that you can make, that there probably is a 7 or 8 carry floor here and some possible touchdown potential. As Mauricio said, like, somehow the Football Outsiders has the Colts in 6th in DVOA against the run. I'm not quite buying that. I think they're more of a neutral matchup against the run at best.
Well, I was going to say also some of those stats early on, when you don't have somebody like Shaq Leonard on the field as much as he was missing time, I think that makes a huge impact on those numbers. So that's a different, you're getting a different linebacking core now than you're getting 3-4 weeks ago. Here's a guy too, that, you know, talk about truthers, AJ Dillon. Now, last week, Pat, 10 for 54, looked better too. I mean, avoided probably a very scary potential injury, but that's his best game since week four against the Patriots, where he had 17 for 73. He's got the Lions this week. I think it's interesting because you are higher on him than ECR. ECR is at 29. You're at RB 25. Is it safe to go out and AJ Dillon again?
I think it is this week, Joe. And, you know, you and I have kind of acknowledged that we were on a sinking ship with AJ Dillon earlier this year. We were both well above consensus on him pre-draft, but, you know, he has had double digit carries in 6 of 8 games this year. Mm-hmm. And the Lions D is just so bad. It is. I mean, it's this
it's great, epically bad. Yeah,
it is. It's this great tonic for any running back, wide receiver who goes against them. Like the Lions defense is this accelerant that just juices opposing fantasy assets so much. I mean, Detroit has allowed the 6th most rushing yards this season and a league high 11 touchdown runs to running backs. So that's what I'm counting on. Another game of double digit carries for Dillon against this really shaky defense.
Now, Chuba Hubbard, you've got very far down your rankings, Mauricio, at 64. ECR has got him at 45. Now, I had to ask you, is that just a placeholder until you get a news? And then more importantly, I think the question is about Chuba Hubbard. With Foreman looking as good as he did last week, having the 3 touchdowns, I know it's supposed to be a shared backfield, but what does that split look like? And do you feel comfortable starting him as a flex guy this week because of what Foreman was last week?
Yeah, my ranking is being cautious that Chuba Hubbard may not play. The reports told us that Chuba Hubbard would have returned in the game in week 7 if needed, and then he was inactive in week 8. So I don't think if we really know about the extent of the injury for Chuba Hubbard, so I'm being cautious. If he plays, probably I'm going to rank him higher, probably at the ECR range. And I expect that what we've seen of Deonta Foreman so far, I think he has the edge to be the primary back there, probably in a 60-40 split.
Okay. Let's move on to our favorite spot here, the running backs. When we talk about the guys I have higher than the ECR, and lately it's turned a little bit. Travis Etienne I had higher than the ECR last week. That worked out. That was a good one. This week, I'm trying to support DeAndre Swift, and a lot of people are very negative. I know Dan Campbell's comments yesterday didn't help. He's not 100%. Who's 100%? It's week 9. I'm not 100%. Pat certainly isn't. Mauricio isn't either. He's got 4 games and 3 touchdowns this year. So I understand he ceded some of the goal line work. I get that. But I'm going to ask you this. Against Green Bay, a team that could be missing not just Walker, but also Campbell as well in that linebacking core, DeAndre Swift, I think, could be potentially better this week than other people do. I am 8 spots lower, higher, I should say. I'm at RB7. Consensus has him at 15. I think Swift could have a sneaky good game here because that was his first game really back. Pat, this is your opportunity to once again just kind of push me back into my hole and say, no, 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 Joe, you're too excited about DeAndre Swift.
No, 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 Joe, you're too excited about DeAndre Swift.
I walk into it every week.
No, you make a great point about the Packers linebackers being banged up and no Devondre Campbell is going to be, you know, potentially ruinous in trying to stop the run game. But don't forget, by the way, Joe, Jamal Williams revenge game this week. So
because they've never played each other in the last
2 years. Yeah, exactly.
I love those things. Like they play in the same division for 2 years now. Revenge games.
Just like 6 revenge game for him.
Yeah.
Right. Like, what number is this already? I think he's had his revenge. It's like him and John Wick have had enough revenge between the two of them. Enough already.
And Jamal has publicly said he holds no ill will towards the Packers.
And he's like the nicest guy on the planet, too. Right, so of all exactly. the guys to not have revenge.
So with DeAndre Swift, Joe, it's primarily health with the shoulder and ankle injuries. And you alluded to the Dan Campbell comments. So the head coach said this yesterday, we probably gave Swift 1 too many carries, meaning last week. We love Swift. Glad he's out there, but he's not back. Okay. Mm. So that probably means he's got a touch ceiling of what, maybe a dozen this week. And, you know, Swift can still make that work as explosive as he is. That's kind of the situation in week 2 when he was playing sort of dinged up and still paid off with a long touchdown. So, I mean, I've got him at 15. I'm right on consensus. I could argue for even moving him up a spot past Leonard Fournette's. maybe even two spots past Raheem Mostert. But if you're eight spots above consensus, Joe, you must have him ahead of guys like Aaron Jones, Dalvin Cook, Jonathan Taylor. I can't go with you there.
I don't feel great about Jonathan Taylor right now, I gotta tell you. And when you fire the OC in a week, that doesn't make you feel warm and fuzzy either. Like, what are we implementing? What does it look like? It's a lot. You change a quarterback, you change the OC. By the time you know it, by the end of the week's end, who knows if Frank Reich's going to be there. Your thoughts this week on DeAndre Swift? I know a lot of people are concerned, but to me, you've made the investment. You got to kind of see it through at this point because you can't really trade him for nothing, Mauricio. Yeah. And at this point, you're stuck. But Pat mentioned that keyword, explosiveness. He doesn't have to touch the football 25 times to return fantasy value. He is one of those rare guys.
Yeah, I think he could be a fringe running back two, running back one, maybe in the range 11 to 13. I think that could be a good range because of his explosiveness and his versatile. And now without TJ Hockenson, he could see a little more targets in the median range of the field. So, yeah, I like DeAndre Swift, but I'm worried about what Dan Campbell says. It's like I put my foot on the brake like for a minute.
All right, I'll move him down to 10. That's where I'm going to push him so far. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Flex Fantasy. For the second straight year, Flex Fantasy is hosting their Tournament of Champions, which pits 16 professional fantasy analysts together. And this week is the tournament semifinals. Follow along by backing the team you think will win and win cold, hard cash when you do. Who do you think will take home the prize this year? With Flex Fantasy, you can create a best ball tournament anytime. No need to start a new league. Just sign up with Flex and create a challenge. Think you are good enough to take on the Flex community? Then prove it. Sign up for Flex Fantasy by going to flex.fan/pros. That's flex.fan/pros and receive 3 free Flex bits today at flex.fan/pros. Now back to the action.
Wide receiver rankings.
Let's move on to the wide receiver ranks here as we continue to look upon the week 9 rankings. And let's start with Keenan Allen. So healthy Keenan Allen, Pat, right? That's what we're all looking for. Wide receiver 16, you've got him ranked. He's coming out of the bye here. You think, you know, he did play 2 weeks ago, a little limited. No Mike Williams, so certainly more target share to go around. Joshua Palmer, boomer bust, mostly bust. You've got him at 24, Mauricio. ECR's got him at 20, kind of right in between you guys. So your expectations this week for Keenan Allen in week 9 off the bye, are we going to get the old 11 for 14 for 120? Is that what we're going to get finally this week, Pat?
I think we will if he plays, Joe. But, you know, obviously at wide receiver 16, I'm making the leap of faith that he plays. And that might be too big a leap of faith considering that the Chargers had a walkthrough on Tuesday, a walkthrough, and he did not participate, not even listed as a limited participant. So that's concerning. You know, obviously this ranking goes out the window if he's iffier as the week progresses. But if he's back, I mean, this is such a great matchup against the Falcons, who've given up the most receiving yards to wide receivers and a league high 12 touchdown catches to wide receivers. I mean, the Falcons are without Casey Hayward. They're likely to be without their best cornerback, AJ Terrell, who's dealing with a hamstring issue. Safety Jalen Hawkins missed last week. So they are just banged up. Even newly acquired cornerback Rashad Fenton, who they got from the Chiefs, he's iffy with a hamstring issue. So, man, they're just the walking wounded back there in the Atlanta secondary. We saw DJ Moore and Terrace Marshall go to town against the secondary last week. And now you've got Justin Herbert, not PJ Walker, throwing passes against this Atlanta secondary. Yeah. So like if Allen is back, like I want every piece of that. Like I'm absolutely jamming him into my lineup. Even if they talk about a pitch count, I don't care. I want Keenan Allen playing, but you know, just fingers crossed that he can be out there on Sunday.
Mauricio, you agree, right? Keenan Allen, if he's active, you got to have him in there regardless.
Yeah, I'm really cautious with my ranking. I have him as wide receiver 24 because for me, the doubt is he really ready? Is he really 100%? Probably not. And probably the Chargers are going to be forced to use Keenan Allen, even if he's not at 100% because of Mike Williams' injury. Before their bye week, we saw Keenan Allen on a snap count. So I think the key is to see how much he practices during the week. And if he's banged up, I'm expecting 15 targets to Austin Ekeler and Gerald Everett and Josh Palmer to be really involved in this offense. But yeah, if Keenan Allen is active, this is a must play against the Falcons.
Speaking of Joshua Palmer, Pat's got him ranked at wide receiver 30. You've got him at 42, Mauricio. ECR at 34. So let's talk about him. Obviously, he wasn't healthy enough to play against Seattle in week 7. He's coming off the bye. Last time we saw him, though, against Denver, he caught 9 of his 12 targets, only for 57 yards, unfortunately. But this is that guy, Pat, that we thought, all right, well, if Mike Williams goes down and, you know, if Keenan Allen's not right, well, Palmer could be that guy. Well, there's opportunity here, and you've got him ranked as though he's going to take advantage of that. Why do you believe this week he will?
Yeah, first of all, with him, this ranking again assumes he's cleared from his concussion. Should be, I think, after their bye last week. Same thing, the Atlanta matchup. I mean, it's just so good with this injury-riddled secondary. And like we saw it in week 6 with no Keenan Allen, there was opportunity for him, 12 targets. As you said, he didn't really cash in, Joe, 9 catches for 57 yards, no touchdowns. So in half-point PPR, he just barely eked out a double-digit point total. But man, like you love seeing the 12 targets. And I think with 12 targets against this Atlanta secondary, you're going to see better than 57 yards and no touchdowns.
All right. Same thing for you, Mauricio. You think Palmer has that same upside where he's worth a flex play this week?
Yeah, totally. I am cautious with him as well in my ranking because of the concussion. But if he plays, I think it's a nice play for flex or wide receiver 3 range. He had at least 13 fantasy points in each of the 3 games. He had 8 targets at least. So yeah, against the Falcons defense, yeah, of course. He haven't exploded yet, even without Keenan Allen, but this could be his week of explosion.
All right, let's move on to another guy, one more that Pat has higher than the consensus. Rondell Moore, working out of the slot now, wide receiver 29. You're pretty close here. Mauricio's got him at 33, ECR's at 31. Again, another player that Debro and I talked about quite a bit on the live stream, Rondell Moore and his upside this week against Seattle. Last we saw Rondell Moore 7 for 8 for 92 yards. He also had 2 rushes in that game too and had a touchdown. So he finishes wide receiver 7 and half PPR. Is Rondell Moore on pace now that Hopkins is back and Brown is out to be potentially, Pat, one of the more underrated fantasy assets that might still be available via trade?
I think so, Joe. You know, I'm back to drinking out of the Rondell Moore Kool-Aid jug after, you know, being cautious. I mean, it was just a couple weeks ago that you were asking me about why I was below consensus on Rondell Moore. So I guess I'm back in. I mean, he's had 20 targets in his last 3 games, although 2 games since Andre Hopkins has returned. He had 2 targets in week 7, Rondell Moore did, and that was against the Saints, and then 8 last week against the Vikings. Cashed in those 8 for 7 catches, 92 yards, and the touchdown, fun touchdown with the jersey being torn away by a grasping defender. Yeah, I mean, like Seattle's been surprisingly good, even though there's a really high Vegas total in this, like 49.5, 50, whatever it is. Like the Seattle Seahawks have been surprisingly good against the pass. They've allowed the 3rd fewest yards to wide receivers, but I do think it's a good individual matchup for Rondale this week going against 4th-round rookie Kobe Bryant, not the one who used to have 50-point games for the Lakers, a different Kobe Bryant. And, you know, like he's the clear number 2 receiver right now. Like A.J. Green is dust. Greg Dortch just gets a handful of snaps. Marquise Brown on the shelf. So, like, he is the number 2 guy. And, yeah, I mean, I feel decent about him as a wide receiver 3 this week.
Here's an expert note on Rondell Moore's profile written by Pat Fitzmaurice. Moore can be a steady wide receiver 3 down the stretch with weekly wide receiver 2 upside if Murray continues dealing. Mauricio, are you buying that line? Do you agree?
Yeah, it's a decent option this week. The needle is pointing into the right direction with Moore in the recent weeks. For me, the reason I have ranked him lower than ECR is because of the matchup. Just Pat said that the Seahawks were very, really good against the passing game. In the last 4 games, no wide receiver has generated more than 86 yards against him. And in that span, they have only allowed 2 touchdowns to wide receivers. So, yeah, I'm being cautious with that.
All right, let's flip the script around now. Let's look at some of the guys. Mauricio, wide receiver, has higher than Pat. And let's start with Michael Pittman. I think one person that everybody's asking, what do we do now? We have a change of quarterback to Sam Erlinger. We have a new OC now calling plays. So Pittman, you've got as wide receiver 19. Pat's got him at 23. ECR is at 21, right in between you guys. So Mauricio, what's your confidence now in starting Michael Pittman Jr. and running him out there? Because chances are you have no choice. But in terms of what you think you're going to get out of him, how does that affect how you create the rest of your lineup, especially with your flex plays and RB2 selections?
Yeah, I like Michael Pittman as a wide receiver too, solid wide receiver too in the mid range. I think we can expect a much better second career game for Sam Ellinger. And Michael Pittman is the first game with Sam Ellinger. He had 39.1 target share. That's huge. That's really huge. And Pittman now has two consecutive games with at least 9 targets. The Patriots last week allowed 115 yards from Garrett Wilson. And I think we can expect that kind of production from Michael Pittman this week.
Pat, this is a fun fact, but also sad. Here's Michael Pittman's finishes since week 3. Wide receiver 36. Okay, tolerate that. Wide receiver 63, 40, 6, 50, 42. So how can we keep ranking him as a wide receiver 2-ish right now when he's not giving us stuff even the top 40 most weeks?
Yeah, target share, Joe. Mauricio pointed it out. I mean, it was the one encouraging thing is that in Ellinger's first start, Pittman had almost a 40% target share, 9 targets last week. But then, you know, only turn them into 7 catches for 53 yards. I guess you'll take it in a PPR, half-point PPR league. But, yeah, it's not the kind of booming production we were hoping for. You know, I would say we had maybe hopes of a 10-touchdown season, maybe at least 7 or 8 for Pittman. I don't know if that's going to happen. So, yeah, that's it. I mean, that's why I'm behind consensus. I like the role. And Mauricio makes a great point about Garrett Wilson. Like, you know, similar types of, they operate in similar areas of the field. And, you know, maybe that bodes well for Pittman that Wilson had the big game against New England last week. But I just don't trust Sam Ellinger in full just yet, which is why I've got Pittman down as a borderline wide receiver too.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, he's a guy that I've had to move down too. Cause once again, we have to start making these tough decisions where we see the productivity. We have to separate the productivity from the deep stats, the targets. At the end of the day, you got to put those things together and make fantasy points. Christian Kirk, similar kind of conversation we could have there, maybe.
Yeah.
Calvin Ridley's not going to play until next year. So we'll see if that helps Christian Kirk a little bit. But you've got him, Mauricio, as wide receiver 22. Pat's got him at 36. Pat's losing faith at an alarming rate.
Joe, ECR. 26. Sorry, 26, not 36.
26. Oh, I'm sorry. 26. Yeah, my apologies.
So I'm still below, but not, you know, still not below, totally not tanked.
I felt alone in the Kirk ship for a moment.
I apologize. ECR's got him at 24. You got him at 22. Pat's got him at 26. So still losing faith. Still the less faithless guy in Christian Kirk. So let's talk about him. Let's talk about your thoughts on what he can do this week in week 9, Mauricio.
Yeah, I'm enthusiastic because after a significant drop in targets in weeks 5 and 6, he returned to normal in the last 2 weeks and averaged 8.5 targets per game. He's wide receiver 18 yards after the catch and he's wide receiver 10 in red zone targets. So if Jacksonville can enter the red zone against the Raiders, I think it's going to be a good matchup for him because the Las Vegas Raiders are tied in 6th place as the defense that has allowed more red zone targets to wide receivers this season. So I'm expecting those red zone targets and probably one touchdown for Christian Kirk this week.
Now you are correct, Mauricio. He's got 17 targets in the last 2 games, but Pat, he's only caught 50% of them. That's troubling. Like, that's not a good number. Let's be honest.
No.
So
yeah,
Pat,
that's right.
What do you think about Christian Kirk and the direction things are going? And the targets are still there, but the conversion rate obviously is not what it was in September.
Yeah, Joe, I hate to be the fantasy analyst who trots out the surface stats to make a case against a player, but I'm going to trot out surface stats. Here are the catches and yardage for Christian Kirk the last 5 games. 2 for 60, 1 for 11, 4 for 24 with a touchdown, 7 for 96, And then last week, 3 for 40. So 3 out of 5 games, single digit points in half point PPR formats, and a couple of real clunkers thrown in there. So, you know, like, and the Raiders, I mean, you would think that this is looking like a great matchup, but it's kind of just okay. It's sort of a neutral matchup. So yeah, I mean, I'm just like looking at the production in the last 5 games, and I'm just not liking the trends I'm seeing.
Devin Duvernay is going to get an opportunity for the Baltimore Ravens to continue to get a fair amount of work. We're concerned about Mark Andrews' health. We know we're not going to have Rashad Bateman there. So Devin Duvernay right now, Mauricio, you've got him as a wide receiver 3 at wide receiver 34. ECR is at 36, right on the fringe. Pat's a little past the fringe on Duvernay at 39. He's been a guy that he has shown up in some red zone moments. We know that, Mauricio. We've seen the connectivity. He's been there and established himself a little bit longer than, I mean, heck, they played more games together, him and Lamar Jackson, than Bateman has. So, you know, at this point, Duvernay might be a little bit safer, perhaps, than people realize. But do you think this game, like you mentioned earlier, Lamar Jackson might have to run a little bit more if Gus Edwards is out? Does that hurt Duvernay's upside if indeed that's the script that ends up unfolding?
Yeah. He can be hurt because of that. I think Duvernay, like Rashad Bateman, most of the weeks, he's a boom or bust option, really. I have no doubt about that. But in the 2 weeks that Bateman was out were the 2 weeks that he played the most, above 72% of snaps in both weeks. Those weeks were also the ones that which has the, had the highest percentage of routes run, at least 73% rate. So, yeah, he probably can be the wide receiver 1 for this offense. We have to wait to see if Mark Andrews can play. Obviously, that could imply a more utilization for Isaiah Likely, but probably also more targets for Devin Duvernay.
All right, Pat, your thoughts on Devin Duvernay in week 9.
Yeah, so I've already moved him up a couple of spots, and I will certainly bump him more if Mark Andrews can't play. But so this is a player I like a lot. You know, it's entirely possible, and I talked about this on my podcast with a guest like a month ago about maybe, is it possible Devin Duvernay is just as good, if not better, than Rashad Bateman? Like, I mean, he's explosive. Love that track speed, obviously. I mean, he can just like make his fantasy quota on one play. And like, he's been really efficient with the targets he's gotten. Like, he's catching a high percentage of them and like doing a lot of damage. But man, like the targets have just been 32 targets in 8 games. That's 4 a game. And the targets just haven't been there, even though the wide receiver position for the Ravens looks so thin, especially with Bateman struggling with injury. Like, I just wonder if Andrews plays, if we don't get, you know, another game where it's like a huge dose of Andrews, some Isaiah Likely, some DeMarcus Robinson, a little bit of Duvernay, and it's just 4 or 5 targets again. And then you're just, you know, you're hoping for that long touchdown or that touchdown run like he had against the Bucs last week.
Yeah, certainly a lot of questions there. Things have not gone for all of us who are hoping Rashad Bateman would be a really solid wide receiver too. Just can't stay healthy, can't stay on the field. It makes him a fascinating buy low because he's still a young player in dynasty leagues and keeper leagues. But right now in redraft, it's a tough sell. You're just going to have to eat it, unfortunately. And hopefully, you know, Duvernay can help. It's hurting the Ravens too, because you become very one-dimensional when you don't have the talent you expected to have. Bateman, J.K. Dobbins, you know, Mark Andrews potentially this week too. I mean, think about it. Like, all that talent that's not there, Gus Edwards might not be available. It's getting thin there in Baltimore. I know they picked up defense, which is good, but you got to have some offense to go with it. Let's talk about a wide receiver. I'm higher on the consensus. Let's talk about Jacoby Myers. I've got him as wide receiver 21. ECR's got him at 25. I understand, guys, that, you know, Jacoby Myers is a tough sell to people. Last year, he didn't have any touchdowns, and it's the Patriots offense. They don't favor one guy. But no matter if it's Zappe or Mac Jones, it seems like every week, Jacoby Myers is pretty darn solid. You know, he's putting up the numbers that you think that Pittman's supposed to put up. I just want to throw that out there. And Pittman's still ranked in the top 20 wide receiver, and poor Jacoby Myers can't sniff it. Mauricio, what the heck's going on? Why doesn't Jacoby Myers get more respect?
I don't know. I really don't know. I love Jacoby Myers. He's been really good with Mac Jones as a QB. He has now touchdowns in 3 of his last 4 games. I think he should be ranked way higher.
Pat, your thoughts on Jacoby Myers? Why the market continues to drag behind?
Joe, you're used to having me swat you down in this segment, but I'm right there with you, man. I've got a wide receiver 21, same as you this week. Jacoby Myers, the guy who for the early part of his career could not find the end zone, even if you give him a bloodhound to pick up the scent. But Mr. I Can't Score a Touchdown has suddenly scored touchdowns in three of his last four games, three TDs in his last four games. And this guy's just good, man. He's really efficient. 77.8% catch rate this year. Career high 9.2 yards per target. Like, this is an efficient dude. And I think he is now clearly the Patriots' number one wide receiver. And you know, they're just not getting a lot of production out of their tight ends this year either. Like, Hunter Henry, ask anyone who invested in Hunter Henry. He's been really disappointing. Like, Myers is the guy in this passing game. So I agree, whether it's Mac Jones or Zappe, like, it really has no bearing on Myers' weekly ranking to me. So kind of a tough matchup against the Colts, but I'm in, Joe. I'm in.
All right. Well, I'm going to take it, and I'm going to run with it. I'm not going to look back.
Let's dig into the listener mailbag.
Let's go to the listener mailbag right from our Discord, fantasypros.com/chat. Again, free to join. But if you're a premium subscriber to Fantasy Pros, and you can be still, plenty of time, fantasypros.com/offers. Go make a deposit, get the 6 free months, and then you get access to AMAs, stages, all that fun stuff. And I make you famous on the podcast. I pull the questions right from there. This is from Kay. Kay wants to know, I have Saquon Barkley, Kenneth Walker, and Deonta Foreman. Poor baby. What a horrible life you're living right now with these three running backs. No, I'm just kidding. I'm
happy seriously problems.
Well, here's the problem. But here is the problem. I'm seriously considering benching Jonathan Taylor. Am I overreacting? Sometimes, Mauricio, we're our own worst enemies. Now, Kay's done a great job of constructing a roster, of drafting well, of making moves and picking up guys, right? So had Taylor, got Saquon probably on the cheap, right, in the second round maybe this year. Ken Walker late. Maybe picked up Foreman off the waiver wire. But would you be sitting Jonathan Taylor over Foreman this week? I mean, I understand why they think that, but are they overthinking it, Mauricio?
A little bit, but I think that if Chuba Howard doesn't play this week, I could starting to consider sitting benching Jonathan Taylor in favor of Deonta Foreman, because I probably would put in my rankings Deonta Foreman in the range of running back one, and Jonathan Taylor is now my running back 13 at the moment. So it depends on Chuba Howard's health, but I think it's not overreaction. Jonathan Taylor has been disappointing when he has been on the field.
Pat, your thoughts here about this grouping here. Is he overreacting? You got to start Taylor, or it's week 9. You don't have to do anything. You just have to win games.
Oh, you're asking the University of Wisconsin graduate if I would bench Jonathan Taylor. Of course I'm not benching Jonathan Taylor. Look, I agree with Mauricio that maybe it's a little more defensible if Chuba Hubbard doesn't play and Foreman is probably in line for like an 80% snap share and you know, 20 touches or whatever. But like, the Colts firing of their offensive coordinator to me signals they're probably going to go with a back to basics approach this week. Try to run the ball a lot with Jonathan Taylor. I know this ankle injury is kind of an issue, but it looks, you know, from what I've seen some of the injury docs say, they seem to be of the opinion that it is a low ankle sprain, not a high ankle sprain. So he should be okay this week. I think he's going to get a lot of work, and I think it's just a matter of time. Like, the dude is still awesome. I know it hasn't worked out so far this season, but there will be games this year where he continues to be awesome. And I think we're due for one soon here.
All right. Don't forget, you can go over to fantasybros.com/rankings and go check out all the ECR ranks and our individual ranks too. And please go follow Mauricio over on the Twitter machine at MGutierrezNFL and check out all of his amazing work at NFL Fantasy on the Spanish side of things, and also Estadio Fantasy, which is your passion project, Mauricio. So go check him out. Follow him on Twitter. Great follow. Somebody who's helping make the game of NFL that we love a global game. And just credit to you, Mauricio, for all the work you're doing there. Just tremendous work. And it is a global game. And it's continuing to grow that way. And it's because of people like you and Murph and those people who are in those other countries helping spread our love of fantasy football as an attachment to that game. That's how you catch them. You catch them with the fantasy football. Also, don't forget to catch us at Betting Pros too. Go check out all the great work there on their YouTube channel and at bettingpros.com too. I want to thank the sponsors of today's show, including Manscaped. Head over to manscaped.com, get 20% off and free shipping with that promo code JOEYP. That's JOEYP for 20% off and free shipping at Manscaped. Your balls will thank you. And don't forget to sign up at Flex Fantasy by going to flex.fan/pros. That's flex.fan/pros and get your 3 free flex bits today. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Mauricio and Pat, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.